but with a guy like Nada, what he offers both on the field and off the field, how difficult of a loss is that for a team?
Yeah, you know, he's obviously an incredible individual. You know, not just in terms of what he does for us on the field, because he's been able to do a lot of great things for us, but even off the field with his leadership and is huge. And you obviously don't necessarily, you're not going to go out and find another Haloti Nada. I mean, it's just not going to happen. But we do have guys that we have in place that we think can get the job done. What we ask them to do, we'll get it done. It's not for me to judge, but I can tell you, you know, if I was voting, he'd be one of those guys that I would certainly vote for.
Why?
Just look at the impact he's had on the game. You know, just I think he went to 5 or 6 straight Pro Bowls early on in his career. Powerful guy that is kind of a little different breed. He's one of the few big men on the inside that could just flat out run. You watch him cover sideline to sideline, even during his early years. He did some unusual things, and then his numbers will probably, I'm not certain what his numbers are, but I would anticipate that they're pretty impressive overall.
Sight of the DTs, but he was having a good year, wasn't he?
I mean,
he was playing,
oh, yeah.
He was effective ball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it.
You said you're not going to find another Haloti Nada, obviously, but you did go out and sign 2 capable defensive tackles. Dayton Jones, former first rounder, played in a different scheme. Why do you think he's won a good fit for your scheme? Let's just start there.
Yeah, powerful. He's got ability, strength, athleticism. Karan, same way. Obviously, we know who he is and what he's capable of doing, so we got a good feel for him, and he knows our system as well.
We talk about continuity with these guys a lot, but is there value to a young guy going and playing in a different scheme and look in his development?
I'm not certain what you're referring to.
Karan left and played at LA last year.
And what are you asking me about?
Is there a benefit to a young guy playing in a second scheme in terms of helping him develop into a more well-rounded player?
Oh, you mean once he returns back? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah, I think that what happens to a lot of the guys is that experiences are valuable. It maybe teaches a little bit different technique, and maybe there's some things that can cross over that you can utilize. But we're pretty specific about what we do here, how we do it, and the good thing is that he knows, so that helps us.
With Karan, what's different about his game, Jim, from the last time that you saw him? How has he changed or improved as a player in the year that he's been gone?
You know, he's been injured a little bit here and there, so, you know, I'm most interested in what he does from here on out for us, but just looking at him physically, he's a little bit different. It looked like he's a little more powerful, a little bit bulkier, but, you know, he's always been a high-effort guy, so... So we'll see how he does.
Do you have to change your practice plan, if at all, to account for Matthew's leg?
Check the report. Are you trying to find a roundabout way of asking how he is or what is in? Check the report.
We take all the reps. I mean,
next question.
Does it change? Wouldn't it potentially change what you do?
Next question.
When your team has given up 12 sacks in the last 2 games, obviously that's problematic. Are defenses being more attack aggressive on you guys, or is this something that your offense is misfiring?
Yeah, no, we just haven't done as good a job as we'd like to do. The thing about it, though, is you just can't, like I mentioned the other day, well, Joe, you can't point to just one aspect. You'll look at it and say, it's a protection issue, and that covers a lot of ground. It's our job to get it fixed. Right now, we're not protecting as well as we'd like, or doing the little things that keeps us out of sack situations often enough.
Can you just speak to the effect, obviously, that has just with timing, everything else, when you can't protect the way that you want to, how that stems down to everything else?
Yeah, I think it's obvious. You know, and obviously for us that you know, we have guys on the outside we like to be able to get the ball to, and any time that you're taken out of that, and also you're down in distance situations, you're going to face third downs. You have to throw the ball, so you got to be able to protect. That's key. That's the number one thing we have to be able to do. We haven't been doing it well enough.
Sorry, Jim. How much do you miss a big body in the red zone? I know Darren Fells provided you that against Carolina, but on a regular basis, a guy like Kenny Galladay, for example, a big body to use that physicality against some smaller corners, similar to what Carolina had with Funchess and Bench.
Yeah, every team's different. That's not necessarily our strength. You know, it's the guys that we have. If you ask me this question, do we have guys that can score touchdowns? Yes, we do. Do we have guys that we can throw a variety of different routes to? Yes, we do. We just have to make certain we get it in their hands and get it scored. It's not necessarily a body type that we have to have in order to be successful down there.
Do you need to stretch the field more, maybe, or is that part of the protection problems that you're unable to?
Yeah, same. I'll answer it the same way I always do. Every single component, most often, unless it's a pass, is just strictly for that reason of trying to get 5 or 6 yards. It has a deep component. It has an intermediate component. It has a short component. So, you know, it just depends on what they give us, what we see. You've seen us throw it deep over the top. You've seen us miss some. You've seen us get some. You know, that's the way the game goes.
Jim, not asking about Stafford in general, but what would an ankle or a hamstring injury, how would that affect a quarterback?
So now I'm stupid.
No.
I'm just checking with you.
You're a quarterback. You've been a quarterback.
I'm not being disrespectful for you, but next question, please.
What the NFL is talking about a rule to require players to stand for the anthem. We're going to talk about it next week. Just how would you feel about a rule?
We'll follow the rule. Plain and simple.
Some players said it may encourage more protests. It may, make them want to.
I'm not certain with that. I can't read the mind of individuals and those kinds of things, but they mandate it. We'll do what we're asked to do.
Jim, a lot's been invested in your offensive line the last couple of years. The backs are still getting hit far too often in the backfield. No gains, or no yard gains, or loss of yardage. How close are you to figuring that out? How troubling is that?
Anytime you have one is one too many. I think that's the way we look at it. But we also have to look at yardage gained and those kinds of things. And there's been a few games we've been better than our opponent and probably a little bit better than we have been previously. But we're just not consistent enough as of yet. You're going to get some tackles for a loss. We had 13 tackles for loss against the team we played last week. So it's going to happen in this league. But you just got to make sure that you don't have too many. And right now, like I said, one is too many for us.
Should they mandate it? I mean, this is a topic that's been such.
It's a league rule. It's I'm not into policy making. That's not my position. The people that make the policy will look at it and make a determination on it. I'm concerned about my men doing what they're supposed to do.
Just one thing about the New Orleans Saints. They've kind of corrected some things defensively in the last couple of weeks. What do you see on them that they sort of trended up with defensively? I'm getting stops, not to run over with points and so on like they had.
Yeah, they have good personnel. Cam Jordan's obviously a guy that can get after you in both areas. He can set the edge. He can rush the passer. Rankins on the inside is a heavy-handed guy. Klein, I think, is making the great majority or a lot of the tackles for them. He's running around doing some things well, and they have a good secondary as well. They have a good group. So, they're covering all phases, and they're an aggressive bunch. You know, they really are. They give you a lot of different looks. Better than it was in week one. We'll see what happens on Sunday. That's going to be our thing. I just think that we're slowly improving, not quickly enough. I think every week you got to prove it again, over and over and over again. We haven't arrived. We're a long way from where we need to be. And our job is to just keep getting better. We got to be better than we were at any point in time previously. And we're not quite there yet, but that's what practice is for. That's what meetings are for in terms of getting these guys prepared. So we're on that mission right now.
Where was it better in week five last week than it was in week one? Maybe is the better way to ask that.
I'm not certain. For me, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. All I can do is assess what we did in the quarters. We go by quarters. I think we are okay in that quarter. Regardless of how it looks from a number standpoint, wins are the most important thing, all in all. So. We just got to find a way to get better. We're in another quarter now. We're 0-1 in this quarter. We got to go to work.
You guys have done a great job getting takeaways this year. The Saints don't turn the ball over, haven't at least. What's the challenge in facing a team like that, and how do you maybe force their hand to get some turnovers?
Yeah, I don't think that there's any remedy for what they do. They take care of the ball. They just have not turned it over at all. I think there's right around where we are in terms of turnover ratio. So you're going to have a battle of two teams that haven't turned it over very much. And so that's going to be really, I think, the difference in the ball game. So, but it's an area that we have to continue to work on. We work on taking it away. We work on taking care of it. They do the same thing, and they've done a great job at it thus far.
Jim Taylor,
Jim, you're known for being even keeled, obviously, as a coach. How do you, like 2 weeks ago you guys were 3-1 and we're looking at NFC North division titles and whatever, now 3-2 and all these questions about the offense. What do you lean on when things go so up and down with your team? What do you lean on so they don't freak out either way?
They don't freak out. I mean, at any point in time, I think it's more being able to manage kind of expectations and what people think and how people talk and how they deal with the media, I think, more so than anything else. Staying even keeled is the best way because it changes drastically, you know, just like you just described. I mean, that's just how this league is. Very, very up and down. One day, you know, you're the king of the hill. The next day, everybody thinks that the sky is falling, and that's not the case. So that's basically how we look at it. We try to use what we call, you know, a little bit of rationale. We explain it to them properly so they understand. We think we try to model it out, you know, with the highs and lows and make certain we stay on par and keep playing.
This is obviously off the planet, but there was a creative two-point conversion Monday night. I think I read this somewhere that you were on the staff in Tampa Bay that sort of created that play. Is that historically correct, that you were the creator of the two-point conversion?
Historically inaccurate, but nevertheless, actually Les Steckel was the coordinator at Tampa. I was still in college at the time, but when I got there, I was kind of looking through the film, and I saw where they had run that particular play. He actually called it Heisman Six Sway was the name of the play. Thought it was pretty unique, and so we got fired after. I was there 10 months or whatever it was in Tampa, so we got fired and go to Indy. So, you know, I put it in the archives, right? So I go to Indy, and at one point in time, I'm talking to Tom Moore, who was the offensive coordinator, and I said, hey, Tom, they got this pretty interesting play. If you just got to have it on a two-point play, we might think of this, and you got to know Tom. Tom's not one of those guys that ever thinks that you got to trick people to win, right, or anything of that nature. But so he says to me, and if you know how he talks, he says, Jim, he said, I think that's the kind of play that you run when you got a long-term contract, and mine's not that long. So obviously we didn't put it in there, and but we did put it in Baltimore. We just didn't have the occasion to use it. So kudos to them. It's been run a couple times in the league, and both times exact same result. So it was good play. But that was Les Steckel, who's the originator, as far as I know, and I'm not certain where he got it from or whatever it might be. All right, thanks.